B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Police say an Ebensburg, Pennsylvania man is facing charges for impersonating a Department of Homeland Security officer and brandishing a gun to a Walmart shopper who wasn't wearing a mask. 17-year-old Michael Baglio has been charged for impersonating a public servant and making terroristic threats with intent to terrorize another. Officers were called after a woman reported that an older man had approached her while she was shopping, told her he was an officer with the Department of Homeland Security, brandished a gun, and said it would be in your best interest if you wore a mask.
Wow.
Wow.
Guy's flashing a freaking gun. The woman told police that she had only taken She had only taken the mask off for a minute because she was having trouble breathing, and that's when Baglio had approached her.
Homeland Security, ma'am.
She told police that Baglio had also yelled something at her while she was walking away, but she wasn't sure what it was. Police say a Walmart employee told officers that Baglio had told a manager that he had shown a customer his gun and told her to put a mask on.
She was also in violation of Walmart rules because she wasn't wearing a tube top and exposing half of her ass crack.
But listen, Steve, they say Baglio left his business card with the manager, too.
Oh, so did it say Homeland Security? Handwritten?
It must have, right?
Yeah. Here, right. Call me at the office.
All right, here's one on the other side of that whole mask thing. An 80-year-old man has died after he confronted a bar patron for not wearing a mask and was pushed to the floor, and now the other customer has been charged in his death.
Oh, with murder.
Yeah. Well, it's a homicide.
Yeah.
Rocco.
I was pre-med.
Negligent homicide is what it is. Rocco Sapienza got into an argument with 65-year-old Donald Lewinsky when he saw the younger man not wearing a mask while carrying a beer bucket from indoors to a band outside at Pamp's Red Zone Bar and Grill. Lewinsky pushed Sapienza pretty hard with both hands, prompting the older man to fall back and hit his head on the floor. He went into a seizure right away on the floor bar. Sapienza, who was diagnosed with blunt force trauma, was brought to the hospital unresponsive before dying. Lewinsky paid his bar tab and left after the incident, but he was later identified through interviews and surveillance footage. He was taken into custody on Monday on a charge of criminally negligent homicide. Lewinsky's lawyer said he plans to plead not guilty when he appears in court. If convicted of the charge, he faces up to 4 years in prison. Sapienza, by the way, retired steelworker, former Marine, was remembered by his family as someone who always stood up for what was right. So that's horrible. A suspected arsonist under investigation of a massive house fire is the man who actually clambered into a fire truck at the scene. So he set the fire, and then he went and got in the fire truck. However,
fire truck?
When the as-yet-unnamed suspect was actually attempting to drive off of the fire truck isn't clear. Steve Michael, an officer with the Florissant Police Department, confirmed that the officers arrested a white male on suspicion of arson and tampering related to the fire truck. The department plans to apply for warrants related to the incident.
So is the belief that this was all orchestrated so that he could steal a fire truck?
I don't know. The officer said the gentleman was inside one of the fire trucks. I don't know if he couldn't figure it out or if he was just sitting in it, but he was definitely not supposed to be in it. The incident began with reports of a house fire at about 1 a.m. with firefighters and emergency crews, and a photographer was also on the scene who captured the footage of the blaze. The camera recorded a group of officers arresting the suspect after he was extracted from the fire truck.
Have you ever driven in a fire truck?
No.
They're cool.
Driven in one?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're very
cool. No,
I've never been in a
fire truck.
Every 4th of July, my town, after the parade and everything, they would, up by the firehouse.
Yeah.
They would give you fire engine rides around the whole neighborhood, and you could ride in the back or in the cab. It was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I probably did it as an adult, too.
Yes. You know? There's every reason to do it. It's really cool. It makes you appreciate all that they're dealing with when they respond to any situation.
I would like to do the slide down the fire pole.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
So Quarantine was on last night, and she goes to the firehouse, and she's doing all that stuff. She's like, I'd like to do that, too.
Yeah. I wonder if they still put those in. Fire companies. I don't know.
Maybe you push a button and then the lower floor comes up to you.
Might do that. It's a modern age, man. Over 100 bags of human feces have been deposited on roads in Multnomah County, wherever the hell that is.
Well, that's that time of year.
And it's
is
been
it already? Oh my God!
Been happening since 2018. Officials are asking for your help to sniff out the culprits.
I get it.
Bags filled with human feces and sometimes kitty litter have been found in Springdale, Corbin,
kitty litter,
and Troutdale.
That's disgusting.
Code enforcement says that the bags are usually Walmart or dollar store plastic bags, which are typically dumped in the wee morning hours around the ass crack of dawn. Code enforcement officer Dave Thomas has discovered multiple sacks of joy. Thomas collects the bags that stay together, but he says many of them aren't, in fact, after being run over by passing vehicles, so they fall apart.
Oh, man.
These disgusting deposits are simply left to wash away into the roadside drainage ditches.
Like tears in the rain.
Dave is asking for the community's help in catching the asshat, leaving this crap behind. He said there are certain spots. If anybody has camera footage of a suspicious vehicle traveling slowly on these roads, we'd love to take a look at that.
Come on. It reminds me of the story of the dude that was crapping in the track of the school.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
Has that ever been resolved?
The principal from a different school.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a principal from another school, and he claimed that he just had to go to the bathroom.
He just had to go.
Every time.
On the other
on their
school's
field.
Track.
Every time.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Officials in Florida say a 12-year-old boy was arrested after bringing 3 handguns to school.
Only supposed to bring 2, right?
The boy was taken into custody Thursday morning at Lighthouse Christian School. The sheriff's office says a teacher found 2 guns and 2 boxes of ammunition in the boy's lunchbox.
Do you have enough guns for everyone?
After noticing that it appeared heavy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Officials say a loaded semi-automatic handgun was found on the boy later after he was moved to another area. That's terrifying. The boy said
well-armed.
He had shown the guns to other students as well. So, man, that could have gone bad, real, real bad. All right, state police have arrested a 53-year-old man accused of attempting to arrange a sexual encounter with a horse.
With a horse?
Yes, Norman S.
Sex
Zalek.
With a horse?
Norman S. Zalek was charged September 30th after an investigation that began on August 5th. This is in Pennsylvania, mind you.
Of course. We have the hottest horses.
According to police, the investigation was launched when a woman contacted them regarding a message she had received on Facebook from a man she identified as Zalek. The woman said she owns a horse named Bentley.
Bentley.
And often offers the animal for rides and training to families looking to teach their children about horses. In the exchange of Facebook messages, which the woman shared with police, Zalek had asked the woman if she would be willing to rent the horse to him and his wife so they could have sex and perform sexual activities with it. Dear Zalek allegedly told the woman that he and his wife were, quote, open-minded.
Having sex with a horse.
And liked to try different things.
Jeez.
The couple had never been with a horse in any manner. And they, quote, we want to, it said. Zalek told the woman in via Facebook told them the woman this. State police say that they obtained clearance to conduct a one-way phone recording. And they arranged for the horse owner to contact Zalek. The woman successfully contacted him, and during the conversation, a man believed to be him spoke with the woman and expressed interest in renting her horse for an encounter. He offered her $200.
So an officer poses the horse on the phone?
Yeah,
we are.
Zalek allegedly told the woman that he was not interested in having intercourse with the animal, but said that he wanted to manually stimulate it.
Oh, okay. Well, it went from creepy to totally acceptable.
A handy.
Yeah.
When asked if he would be alone during the encounter, Zalek allegedly said, no, it's me and my wife.
What kind of barbarians do you think we are?
You think I'm sick here?
I simply want oral from the horse. God almighty.
All right. Another people. Story. This one's in Michigan. Police are searching for a man who defecated into an empty box at a local retail store.
What's in the box?
Sure, you don't want to know, man. It happened shortly before 5:30 p.m. Police said the man opened a box, defecated in it, put it back on the shelf.
Do you sell gift wrapping?
And then he stole an item before he left the store. He wanted to take and leave something.
Yes.
You know,
that's
what he wanted.
That's really nice.
He was last seen leaving the parking lot.
Take a dump, leave a dump.
And a light-colored Ford Escape. And anyone with information is asked to contact the police.
I wonder if he ever asked or thought of asking if they had a bathroom.
I wonder if that crossed his mind. All right, listen to this. I guess they hate speed cameras in Canada. Vigilantes in Hamilton, Canada, use black spray paint to blind a speed camera just one day before the device was set to become the city's first operational speed camera. And then on Saturday, vigilantes covered another one. They covered the lens of a newly installed camera with silver spray paint and a happy face. On Friday, a pole-mounted turret speed camera was cut down with an angle grinder.
Wow.
On Thursday, another speed camera was disabled by a novel technique. A truck was used to dump a large pile of tar both in front of and in back of the automated ticket machine. The tar is now hardened. And on Tuesday, another speed camera was set on fire with a pair of tires and gasoline.
We always think the Canadians are so easygoing.
So they are going. Somebody's going on a tear, yeah. And they're using a different method at each one of these to destroy these speed cameras. They have
I like
no
the
idea.
Tar one. That's pretty cool.
They have no idea. I like the tires and setting them on fire. So they're looking for them. The new owner of a Chicago home that he bought to renovate ended up finding thousands of dollars hidden in the living room. The man never expected to find the stash there. Jim Dow said, "I've never seen anything close to this before. In the last 5 years, he's flipped more than 50 homes, but he's never found anything like what he did in the living room of that particular house. He was shocked, and he had found 5 envelopes packed with almost $10,000 hidden throughout a room."
$10,000 is the sum or $10,000 in each?
No, $10,000 was the sum.
Yeah, yeah.
Behind the couch, there were 2 bankers' withdrawal envelopes.
Wow.
He said, "I think she felt that her safest place for her money was kind of hidden throughout the house. So money was found in various spots, including behind an old photograph hanging on the wall." When he shook the shock off, he said his next steps were obvious, and that would be to return it. And the former owner and her family were thrilled. Gloria Carter's son, Anthony, sent in appreciation for Dow's return of the money. He said, "I didn't want the reward she was going to give." He said, instead, he asked her to just pay it forward. But you would think, you know, you're moving out of the house.
Yes.
The money is something you may want to take with you.
That should be on your list of especially things to remember.
If it's stashed all over the place.
When my grandfather passed away, after he died, when we were cleaning out his house, we found cash all over the place.
Really? Yeah. So he was not fond of banks?
He was, a child of the Depression, yeah. and he liked dealing in cash. We found it in cookbooks, we found it under mattresses, and closets. There was just cash everywhere.
Do you think he had any list of the locations of these things?
Well, you would think that'd be a good idea, right? Yeah. But he decided, no, I'm just going to put it in the Italian cookbook.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was all crazy.
Right. All right, that's what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.